Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
1033 WGN Radio. This is John Williams.
Who's that handsome devil?
Oh, it's me, Steve. John Williams.
I see. Yeah, right. John Williams.
What's going on? It's Doma T. Pago, man. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Doma T. How are you?
It's been a long time. How you been?
I've been here. It's been a great time.
Yes, man. I've been
watching you online and everything.
Doma T. Pongo is the handsome young man who was with our radio station for how long, Doma T?
It was...
2 years? 1 year? 10 years?
It felt like 10 years.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
It felt like... I think it was 2017 when I started.
2017. So when I started doing Saturday mornings, a couple of people worked a couple of different positions. Sam Panionovich, for instance, did sports. Now Joe Brand does. But you came into the newsroom. Todd Manley, the boss at the time, goes, there's this guy. We're bringing him in. You're going to love him. He's great. His name is Doma T. Pongo. I said, I can't do that. What just happened? But that's his name, Doma T. Pongo. Grew up where?
Grew up on the south side of Chicago and Calumet City, south suburbs, and I learned so much here, man. John became a friend. At first, this is something I've never told you.
He's now with MTV News, but keep going.
Now with MTV News. Steve, I didn't know if John liked me for a while. I was like, I don't know if this guy likes me.
Right.
And then...
It took me 10 years, Doma T.
Yeah.
And to discover that I don't like Steve.
Yeah, it took him to figure it out. But then John would give me, hey, when you do the news, do it this way, slow down, this is what I like, et cetera, et cetera.
And, you know, I remember one of the times I gave you a tip like that, a tip, whatever. I just was giving you some what I thought
some
was
some advice, great advice,
and,
yes.
And I know one time you go, yeah, not so much. And I thought, you know what? He's getting it because, there's a few things I knew I could share with you. But also you need to find your own groove, your own style, your own way.
Yeah.
And so you became, it was fun to watch you evolve, if you will.
Thank you.
Under the confident guy you were. And the joke around the place was, we're just borrowing Doma T. He is going to be here not long. And I don't know what it is about you or why we knew that. Like, if they said, well, where's he going to go? I don't know what the answer to that was. But where you landed is, to me, like the most perfect spot for you. Because
Thank
I knew
you.
Music was in your wheelhouse. You're obviously very telegenic. And I thought, after we found out you were going to MTV to do the news over there, I thought, of course this is the perfect gig
man.
For him.
Thank you.
How did
Thank
that
you.
Happen, by the way?
So the story is insane. So I get a call around November, maybe September of 2018. Doesn't really matter. My friend says MTV is looking to cast the host of a documentary they're working on in Chicago. I'm like, okay, so what? What you calling me for? She's like, well, I recommended you. I'm like, okay, whatever. I get a call 5 minutes later. They ask about this case that they're working on. Could I host it, etc. So I start talking about the case. And, you know, in this business, you get calls. People talk to you. A lot of people talk about stuff. I don't know if she really works at MTV. I don't know what's going on. And then I actually freelance for them and shoot The Thing. The Thing was a pilot, and I don't know if the pilot's ever going to come out. This is February of 2018 that we actually begin to shoot the pilot. We shoot the pilot, it finishes, and I hear nothing for the rest of the year. Then I get a call from the director of The Thing, and he says, do you have representation? I'd recommend my agent to you. Recommends the agent. A few months go by, some opportunities go by. I start having conversations with the bosses here and say, hey, I'm looking at some other freelance opportunities. Is that okay? Finally get the call on a Monday from MTV asking if I could move to New York by Thursday.
Really?
And so I have that.
But then you would miss the Saturday show with me from 9 to noon.
Is what happened. And I was heartbroken and scared that I would go to New York because they told me it would be a 1 month period where I would be. They're going to have floating hosts for this digital show. And so I'd just be out there for 1 month hosting this floating new digital concept show they have on Twitter.
At MTV.com.
At MTV.com.
And it's kind of like a news panel. And you guys aren't talking about Donald Trump, are you? You're talking more about entertainment and music news?
Actually, all of it. We talk about Trump. We talk about entertainment and music news. We talk about politics. But we talk about it in a way that'll appeal to the younger generation and to the music generation. So if we talk about Trump, we'll talk about rapper ASAP Rocky in Sweden and Trump having conversations with the Swedish government about having him released. released. So that's our way in to get people interested in that type
of
content.
Are you talking about Taylor Swift?
Hey, John,
got to talk about Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but if you don't mind, I'd like to run to City Hall to Lori Lightfoot. The mayor is talking about her investigation into Eddie Johnson.
I don't feel like it is appropriate or fair to Mr. Johnson's wife or children to do so at this time. I hope we can all take care to treat them with dignity and respect. This moment needs to be a turning point for the Chicago Police Department, the way things are done in this city. As for the department, yesterday, today, and tomorrow has to be about culture change. That must start at the top.
We'll go back to the mayor, but I just want to say that she has terminated Eddie Johnson, fired the superintendent ahead of his announced retirement, saying that he was dishonest with her and misled the public about the incident apparently when he was found in his car.
But their supervisors get a pass, even when the supervisors were aware of or directed the conduct at issue. Perhaps in years past, someone in Mr. Johnson's circumstances would have been allowed to simply retire. Doing so today, in these circumstances, would have been inconsistent with who I am and with the kind of principled leadership I want to bring to the city. None of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. But in public life, we must be honest and accountable for our actions and must strive to do better every day. When there are ethical lapses, lapses in judgment, particularly in a position of trust like the superintendent of police, then it is incumbent upon me and all of us to ensure accountability. That's why I decided to take this clear and decisive action today. The old Chicago way must give way to the new reality. Ethical leadership, integrity, accountability, legitimacy, and yes, honesty must be the hallmarks of city government. There must be no mistake about the message I am sending today. The 13,400 sworn and the civilian members of the Chicago Police Department who work hard every day deserve a leader they can believe in. And to achieve the reform and accountability that in the department that we know is urgently needed, we require a leader whose actions reflect the virtues of integrity, honor, and legitimacy, the touchstones of what it takes to have the privilege of being a Chicago police officer. I am confident that the interim Superintendent Beck is such a leader, and that both he and the eventual permanent superintendent will serve with honor. At this time, I will take your questions.
Mayor, what is it that you learned that you didn't already know? You knew he was drinking, you knew he didn't say so. So why did you participate in the celebration?
Obviously, the facts that I know now are fundamentally different than the facts that I knew then. I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, as I said
but
in my statement.
It's so shocking that you would act so... a month early. What is the reason?
The reason is for the reason that I said, that his conduct on the night, that night, his effort to mislead the public and his effort to mislead me. I've reviewed the Inspector General's report and videotape evidence and makes it clear that the only choice that I had to take was to take the one that I've taken. There's no gray area here.
What did you see on the video?
I saw things that were inconsistent with what Mr. Johnson had told me personally and what he revealed to members of the public.
Did he abuse his police powers at night when the police officers came to him in the car?
I'm not going to get into the specifics about what happened.
Can you say exactly how he lied to you?
Well, a lie is a lie. He told me something that happened that night that turned out to be fundamentally different than what he had portrayed to me and what he portrayed to members of the public. Let me go back here to Marion. Yes, I met with him this morning and relieved him of his responsibilities as police superintendent.
Mayor, is it fair to
accepting.
Is it fair to say he's lying but not give the details about how he's lying?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's important for me to make sure that I don't do anything to influence or taint the ongoing investigation of the Inspector General. And there are certain things that maybe they will become public later, but I think out of deference to his wife and his children, it's not my narrative to tell. It's not my story to tell.
That is Mayor Lightfoot announcing today that she has fired Superintendent Eddie Johnson, the Chicago Police Department superintendent who had announced his retirement just a month ago, and the mayor standing alongside him at that time. She knew at the time that Johnson had been found asleep or slumped over the steering wheel of his car and allowed to drive home, but saying now that she has learned more about that incident and that the superintendent lied to her, and that is not the Chicago she intends to lead. And so she met with him today, fired him, and she said he was had a mood of acceptance in that.
What was the lie?
Well,
what did Eddie tell her that she now knows not to be true? Because he didn't take a breathalyzer test. He didn't do a field sobriety test. The cops let him go home.
I think he said at the time that he'd had a couple drinks with dinner.
He did.
Maybe there was something more to it than that. She said twice in just the few minutes that we listened that out of deference to his wife and children, she wasn't going to go into details. You can read into that whatever you want.
Okay.
And then Fran Spielman there from the Sun-Times was trying to get her to say, well, what is it that you know now that you didn't know when you were lauding him at his retirement, and she just wouldn't get into the details there.
Or for that matter, what's the rush? I mean, you've got this interim guy kind of
running
the show.
Well, the rush is the Inspector General report is probably coming out or is nearing conclusion, and so you would have to act on that.
She's out getting ahead of something.
Right, exactly.
Another shoe is about to drop.
I know. I'm going to ask you guys questions.
See,
I know you don't know.
Matisse picked up on that stuff now?
We need to pause. It's 10:43. We'll now change the narrative. Domiti Pongo, our friend from WGN Radio News, now at MTV.com. He does a news panel, a news show there.
Yeah.
He is in Chicago before he heads back to NYC. Let's pick it up here in a minute on WGN. It's 10:46. This is John Williams at a new time now. Weekdays from 9 to noon. 9 to noon. Here on WGN Radio. We invited a colleague of ours back to the studio to say hi and catch up. Domiti Pongo, WGN Radio news guy, now off to New York at MTV.com. He does a news show there. And as we were catching up, I was thought we'd be talking about you telling stories about talking to famous people because you're on the red carpet and you have all of these amazing stories. But Domiti, just humor me for a minute here. I want to catch up with Steve Bertrand in the newsroom as well. Lori Lightfoot has just announced that while Eddie Johnson's retirement is imminent and interim directors have been posted, she now says because of the upcoming Inspector General's report, she's going to fire him immediately.
Fired for cause, she said, for lying to her and misleading the public about this incident in October. I think I said last month, but it was in October when he was found asleep in his parked car near his home about 12:30 in the morning. At the time, he was allowed to drive home by the officers. They did not check him for impairment. He said that he had had a change in his medication and had stopped taking an old medication and not started taking the new medicine at the time. And he said he was just overly fatigued.
He has legitimate health issues. He's passed out before. He is a kidney recipient, a transplant from his son.
He later told the mayor that he did have a couple of drinks at dinner that night. That was not immediately disclosed.
But said he wasn't drunk.
And that's kind of where it was left. And then, then he announced his retirement last month. And, the mayor was there for the announcement and to praise him. And not only that, John, I don't know if you remember, but we brought this up on the Mincing Rascals. The mayor, during the question part of the news conference, said, look, the superintendent's young boy is here. Let's show the family respect when we are asking questions. And the assumption at that point was that they didn't want the boy to be there while reporters were asking the superintendent if he was drinking on the job. That was my assumption. Maybe there was something more to it. Now, today, Lightfoot twice said that out of respect for the family, she wasn't going to go into some of the details that she's learned.
And it should be noted, I've been following this from afar. I saw interviews with Lori Lightfoot with local reporters being very forgiving and amenable toward Eddie Johnson.
Absolutely.
She was.
The whole town has been.
Yes. She said, he spoke to me. I take him at his word for what he said happened that night. I believe him. And, I remember reporters really pressing her on that. And today is the first time I've heard her speak somewhat ill.
And she spoke, she spoke of their friendship on the day he retired.
Well, is she speaking ill or is she speaking?
She's
angry.
Speaking directly.
Directly.
Yes,
that's a better
she's
word.
She's speaking directly.
Okay, but so she's ticked that he lied to her. But why is she so elusive about what the lie was? If you're going to call a press conference, the guy's out the door in a month anyway. He's not drinking and driving under the auspices of the Chicago Police Department these days. What's
that will probably be in the Inspector General's report, John, and all she's saying is I've seen the report. There's evidence here that he lied to us, and so I'm firing him.
And as far as scandals go, when this other shoe drops, there's going to be a big aha moment that we'll all have, because the driving situation, while not you know, appropriate for the leader of a police force is not the worst thing that we've seen. All right. And so whatever happened, whatever is in that inspector general's report had to be serious for Lightfoot to let him go.
Oh, I'm assuming that what she's discovered is evidence that, in fact, maybe it's video of him drinking too much at the bar or restaurant, more than a couple or a few drinks. I'm assuming that the reason that he's lost his job today is because he lied to her about his drinking, that he was drunk, that he had way too much to drink. Now, maybe there's something else, Domati. Maybe there's another shoe that's going to drop here. You don't have a read on that, do you, Steve?
No, I'm not going to make any assumptions there, but I mean that certainly
is. But how can we not?
No, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying that certainly seems to be the logical case here. Yes.
Yeah, he's in the news chair now. I'm in editorial land, so I can
get to speak freely.
Yeah, I get to speak freely and speculate a little more. I think something nefarious happened, and she found out about it and wants to be known to have done the right thing before the public knows.
Our number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Jim, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jim?
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody, that press conference, it was hard to hear some things. Do you know if anybody asked her if his pension will be affected? Will he lose his pension?
Let's go to the newsroom. This is Steve Bertrand's favorite question.
I didn't hear that come up, but I know that is a cause of great concern for a lot of people. When someone public gets in trouble.
It's always the first question we get. Steve always rolls his eyes. He always sees that as kind of tangential to what's really going on here, but
Steve is on those pitches.
It's so appropriate. It was the first thing to come in today.
But I'm sorry. I mean, maybe I'll discover things that'll make me change my tone, and I'll change my tone if I have to. But I have affection in my heart for Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
And I'm not anxious for him, like, say, some jailed governors. I'm not anxious for him to lose his pension.
That's right.
I think it depends on the thing that you did that got you fired. Did it get you fired while you were doing your job? Was it, like, sometimes people will lose their pensions if they've been stealing, and they will lose their pensions relative to the amount of time they were stealing from, say, the state coffers. So if you're in office for 20 years and for 5 years you were stealing, then you use 5 years worth of seniority or pension. I don't know how the math works out on this.
Well, I think generally these pension questions, although they come up every day.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Have to do with people who are convicted of crimes too.
Now forgive me, I am going to go into editorial land once again. This is a bit of apples and oranges, but is John Burge still receiving his pension?
John Burge,
I don't believe he was, Domati. Well, I don't know if he was ever convicted of a crime.
Convicted, but I know the larger point I'm making is that I've seen officers do, in my mind, what I believe to have been far worse and have not been reprimanded so directly,
okay,
so quickly.
And having said all the nice things I've said about Eddie Johnson, if they have evidence that you are drinking on the job,
that is very
bad. Then I think, and I don't know when the shift for the police chief starts, like the police superintendent. Are you always on the job? Or if it's a Saturday night or a weeknight, if it's 10 o'clock at night and you're having too much to eat and having too much to drink, you shouldn't drive. That's the crime. I don't think getting drunk as a police superintendent is a crime unto itself.
Burge, by the way, died a year ago. But it is if you're driving, John.
Oh, sure. All right. But then it's a DUI offense, and maybe that costs you your job.
But
maybe.
What the mayor, remember the mayor's words, he lied to me and he misled the public.
And he misled the public.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out. Are we going to find out today? We'll have access to the Inspector General report.
I don't know if it'll be today. I don't know when it's coming out.
But we should have access to the reason Eddie Johnson's getting fired, right?
It'll be a public report, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And was there excuse me, I've been far removed from the news for a minute, so forgive me if my facts are muddled, but wasn't there a question of whether or not the police followed the proper protocol in reporting whether or not Johnson had in fact been pulled over, et cetera? So is there a corruption element to this too?
She said she was not going to get into that today.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another thing that absolutely happened. I mean, if just imagine that Eddie Johnson is asleep or passed out at the wheel of a car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the car isn't still going. Did he put it in park or is his foot on the brake? But he's driving his car. It's at a stop sign. My feeling is it's at the stop sign. When I talked to Eric Zorn from the Tribune about it, he sort of thought that it had pulled off to the side of the road. But he is in the car by himself. He's driving. He's now asleep at the wheel or passed out at the wheel. So for some reason, the car's not going forward. Two cops come upon the scene.
Mm-hmm.
and they recognize Eddie Johnson. Oh, man, it's Eddie Johnson. What am I going to do? You wake him up. You rouse him. He says, oh, thanks, guys. I had a reaction to medicine, or I'm not on the right meds right now. Okay, chief, you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. And then they let him drive home. They shouldn't do that.
Right.
They need to take him out and make him touch his nose and walk a line.
Yeah.
But I wonder how often that happens.
Very often.
No, very often. Oh, that they let him go.
That officers look out for one another when
right.
It's a minor thing like that.
I agree.
And I have police officers in my family. Like, even my brother-in-law said, I shouldn't say this on the air, but he's like, if you get pulled over and it's a state trooper, you know, let him know that. Say my name and see if they'll be nice to you or not. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And that's
how
things
happen. What's his name? Can the rest of us use it too?
Yeah, right, exactly. I'll tell you off air. I got you.
But that's a good point. If you work for the county attorney office, you show them your county attorney badge, and the cops will often will not give you a speeding ticket. There's courtesies they show each other
courtesy,
all the time.
Absolutely. And I think they should have the liberty to show some courtesy, depending on the offense. I'm sorry. I just believe.
Really?
I really do.
So if I'm speeding and I'm a cop, and you don't know that, you pull me over and I go, hey, thanks, here's my ID. Oh, look, it happens to also show I'm a cop. They let each other go all the time. You have no problem with that. It's okay to say yes, Domitie.
Yeah, I'm not saying it should happen often, but I think it would be naive to say that that's not something you would expect.
773 texted in and said, if you are fired from CPD, if you are fired, you do not get your pension. Says one of our texters, anyway. LF said we got to take a break. Domitie, I don't know if you can hang around for the next half hour or so.
I don't know if I qualify as an expert on this, but I'd love to stay around.
I won't put you on for that reason. I did want to catch up and hear some of your swell stories.
Yeah.
We're out of time for this hour. If we don't catch up in the next hour, how do people follow or find you?
Yes, follow me at Domitie, Dometi _ on Twitter and on Instagram TV. You'll see my news stories. The show airs on IGTV, that's Instagram TV at MTV News, and on their Twitter page. And you'll see all my VMA red carpet interviews, my MTV Movie and TV Award interviews. And I've got a show coming out at the top of 2020 that I think the city will really love. So, yeah, you guys can check that out and just stay tuned.
Nice to see you. Happy for your success.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you. This is my 1-year anniversary, by the way.
Of leaving us and going there.
Yes.
Well, then to heck with you.
Thank you for celebrating with me, John.
Good morning. You have heard me in the recent past from 1 to 3 weekdays here on WGN Radio, Saturday mornings 2. They've rejiggered the schedule here. I'm now on from 9 in the morning until 12 noon. We miss Bill and Wendy, too. I hope you enjoy this show. If you listen to us from 1 to 3, welcome to my 9 to noon show. And if you didn't hear me from 1 to 3, this is what I sound like. I'll be here weekdays from 9 to noon, and then on Saturdays, I think from 1 to 3, although I saw in print it was 1 to 4, but I think 1 to 3. Anyway, I'm still on Saturdays.
I was wondering about that when I saw that.
Yeah, some people said to me, no, it's in the paper, John, 1 to 4. I says, okay, I heard 1 to 3, and then they told me 1 to 4. But they said, but maybe not 1 to 4. So I'm not going to worry about that right now.
Just going to leave work a little early and see if anyone notices.
There have been times lately where I was making calls going, am I on tomorrow? Because Northwestern football's got a game on Saturday, so I don't have to come in, right? Which is a funny way to run a radio station if you're a host. That other voice you're listening to. Give me just a few more minutes. Domitie Pongo is in our studio. You heard him on my Saturday show. And a year ago, he left WGN Radio to go work for MTV. He does a news program there, a sort of panel discussion news broadcast, which you said covers hard news, but also pop culture and music news, entertainment news.
Yes.
And when you are talking, say, politics or whatever else the hard news of the world is, you're looking at it maybe through a different lens than we are here at the radio station, the way you used to cover in our newsroom.
Yeah, through a pop culture lens. Our way in is talking about things that the kids, as they say, care about, you know, yeah. Music and pop culture and fashion as it relates to hard news and politics sometimes.
I want to take a call because this person's been holding Domitie, and then I want to catch up with what you're doing. But
sure.
Julie wanted to call in. As you just heard, perhaps, WGN Radio News, Steve Bertrand was talking about Lori Lightfoot firing Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, whose retirement was imminent, but she said evidently that he told her something that was not true about that night that he was found slumped over the wheel of his car, and she won't tolerate lying from the superintendent, and so he has been fired.
Remember, she was elected, and Johnson even brought in on this idea of police accountability. After the Laquan McDonald case and all of that. And so that makes this an even more egregious offense if what she's saying is true.
I wonder what his legacy is going to be, because it seemed to me like some of his benchmarks came up when Donald Trump was in town speaking to the police superintendent's convention in town. And Eddie Johnson or others were reminding us that crime and violent crime in Chicago, while he's been superintendent, has gone down. And when Jussie Smollett case blew up and just went a million directions and was very bizarre, I think a lot of us embraced the superintendent even more, because I thought he sort of stood up for Chicago and said, we're not going to tolerate this crap, and was very angry about the way that thing went down. Not much he could do about it. Maybe he should have been more involved. I'm not exactly sure what his role would have been, but a lot of us liked the way he talked about our city at that time. Julie wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Julie, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Domati. Hi, Steve. I'm a retired police officer, and there's a rule in our rules and violations that says you cannot be intoxicated on or off duty. And that's not to say someone's going to come knocking at your door at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. But if you're involved in, say, a police take police action and you've been drinking, that can really be a problem.
Well, I'm sorry, if you're at a party and you get drunk, but you're not driving, you can be drunk at some point in your life if you're a cop, right?
Well, sure. It's more to cover the bases if you've taken police action and you're intoxicated.
Okay.
No one's going to go looking to see if you happen to have been drinking.
Okay, but say, all right, so say I'm at a party or something and I'm drinking and I'm drunk and I see something go down. I should not act as a police officer now, because even though I'm off clock, if I'm doing police business, I'm springing to action. If I'm intoxicated, I'm violating the police rules, right?
Well, technically, yes.
Okay, but I don't know how that applies to Eddie Johnson. He's just driving home from dinner.
True, but then if he was intoxicated and he's driving.
Yeah, okay, but so I think another question is, I wonder if the lie is what gets him, right? Like,
right.
If you shouldn't have been driving drunk, Eddie Johnson. He fell asleep at the wheel. If that's the case, I'll bet that's not what gets him fired. It's him telling Lori Lightfoot, I had just had a couple of beers, I was fine.
And it was my medication for my illness.
And so what does she now know that proves otherwise? Because he didn't take a field sobriety test. Hmm. We're just going down a path of speculation here, but this is where the mayor's left us hanging.
I feel so badly, too, because he seemed like such a good guy. Yeah. And he is a good guy.
Thank you for saying that. Julie, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
You're doing an investigative series over at MTV, aren't you?
Yeah, it comes out in 2020. And the series looks at mysterious crimes that have happened that have gone viral online. So think about the cases over the past few years that have gone crazy on the internet, that had everybody talking about them online. So I dig in and figure out what really happened. I separate the conjecture online from what really happens, and the viewer follows me as I look through all these cases.
So what we're talking about now with Eddie Johnson and Lori Lightfoot would not be the case, because we'll find out here.
Yes.
And this isn't a viral thing. This is a Chicago news story. But a lot of things are crimes that we've heard about that do go viral.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
We don't follow up on. We don't never hear what happened. This is where you're digging.
This is where I'm digging. And this is the crazy thing that happens. Sometimes, you know, these crimes go viral, and you know how news works. Things happen, and it's like, hey, whatever happened to that thing? And you know, maybe the crime is solved as far as the police are concerned, but the public still has YouTube channels, and people are saying all types of crazy theories. Well, I dig into it, especially in an age where, you know, people in my generation who aren't in the news business don't follow news as closely as they maybe should.
So. I won't say what the first installment is about, but I've seen some of it online. You shared it with me. It looks terrific. It's
Thank
a compelling
you.
Story. It resonates greatly here in Chicago. It's not Jussie Smollett. I don't know if I can say that, but it's not. It's something else that, now that you mention it, I don't know how that shook out. You found out. Domati Pongo. And that's going to be after the first of the year?
That's going to be after the first of the year. That's in 2020. And yes, please, guys, just stay in tune with me at Domati _ D-O-M-E-T-I _. And my website is myfirstname.net. And and when these things come out, I think Chicago is really going to be glued into this story specifically. The first episode is actually how I ended up at MTV in a roundabout way.
Well, I like it. And you're cold open to that first installment. You mentioned you were doing news on WGN in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't mention me or Lou Manfredini, but listen, that's fine. Domitee, you're done, man. Good luck to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, John. Steve, John, love you guys. Mary, good to see you. Dave Innitt, how's it going? Thank you guys for having me. And it's always good catching up with you, John.